Cool. So, I stole some money off Mum to pay some court fines. And on the way to the courthouse, I thought it'd be a good idea to go to the casino with Mum's card. Because Mum had just recently become a Christian and I thought she'd be all good with it. And I lost a lot of Mum's money and didn't pay the court fines. And part of the penance was I had to pay the money back. But I also had to go to church with her. And I was way more gutted having to go to church with Mum. I mean, hello, magazine. Not engaged at all. And the guy was up preaching and he said, "Sir, you have the dreadlocks, come up here. If we could just turn me down a wee bit, it'd be great." He said, "Come up here." And I just shook my head and go, "There's absolutely no way I'm going anywhere near you." And I just carried on reading. So he got off the stage and came to me. And he said, "Sir, God has called you to be an evangelist." I went, "Oh, yeah, good, thanks." I didn't even know what that word meant. He said, "An itinerant international evangelist, get ready." And I went, "Oh, yeah, mate, sweet as." You see, but it's the power of the seed, because I didn't even understand what those words meant. I said to Mum on the way home, "What on earth was that guy on about? What's an evangelist?" She said, "Oh, I think they preach and talk about God." Well, that's not me, because I don't even believe in God. And then a couple of years later, when I was in Wollongong, I remembered the night that man said that you're going to be an evangelist. The power of the seed, it sticks. Yeah. So every time you talk to someone, it doesn't matter how they respond, because I responded really quite rude. It was, "Oh yeah, whatever, mate," and just pushed my book up higher. But he delivered the word. He may have walked back to the stage thinking, "Man, I may have got that one wrong." But the reality is, 25 years later, I'm now a traveling evangelist. I'm doing what that man said, and he didn't even know me. So for many years, I thought my job as an evangelist was to go and share the gospel on the streets. So good to have you online too. Haven't forgotten about you. I thought that was my job, just to be evangelizing, to be witnessing, to do this, to work out some new... And I'd heard so many messages about, you know, the evangelists are out there bringing them in. And I was thinking, I'm not sure that's biblical. Ephesians 4 says the job of the evangelist is to equip the church. So that's really interesting, because a lot of evangelists, and I can say this because this is the world that I live in, a lot of evangelists are fantastic out there, but they're not so good in here. They love the lost with all their heart. They weep over the lost, but they tolerate the church. So how on earth can you equip people to share the gospel if you tolerate them? It would come across as looking down your finger, pointing your finger, being grumpy, being, "Well, I'm doing this, why aren't you?"
Come on, that's right. Exactly right.
And then I realized that God has called me for this, not that. He's actually called us all for that. But he's called me to do this.
Very good.
So even sometimes when I'm preparing messages to preach, I get a bit nervous. But whenever I do this, whether it's 10 people or 10,000, I'm just sweet. Because I know this is what God has called me to do. He's put that gift of an evangelist and that grace is on my life for you to receive.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. It's the simplicity of it. It's amazing. So that means that, because some people think, well, evangelists are extroverts because they're loud and they're this and that. I know some very, very introverted evangelists that are so powerful. It's got nothing to do with the personality. Show something. I got a wee flag made. That's right, a flag. So, you see, so many Christians think, well, because I'm introverted and I wear the introverted hat and I fly the introverted flag, that God can't use me powerfully to impact people's lives. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because Holy Ghost that is in me is the same Holy Ghost that is in you. And if we understand what we've received, freely we've received, so freely give. Every single person in this room and online, if you're a Christian, you have a story. And often what will stop you telling your story is fear. False evidence appearing real. The devil. And then evangelists, and they're out there, they're loud, they're bold. But you see, bold and passionate is not rude. Bold doesn't need to be loud. It's a really good point, Des. Bold doesn't need to be loud. So it's not about what personality you've got, because I see wherever I go and traveling, there's so many people that write themselves off because they're not one of these. Well, I'm not extroverted. So how on earth could I pray for someone in a shopping mall? Well, you pray for someone in a shopping mall because he's worthy. Because he is worthy. That's why we share the gospel. Because he is worthy. He is worthy to be talked about. You see, Jesus went around to his daughter, and he just wants you to talk about his father. It's time to make Jesus famous. And tonight I want to help you with it. So, what is success? Is success going and sharing the gospel with someone and they... Actually, I might move this away from that speaker. What is success? Is success sharing the gospel and someone saying, hey, well, what must I do to be saved? Because if that's the mark of success, gee, I fail a lot. Or is success when I knock on someone's door? I've only knocked on a couple of people's door, to be honest. We're going down to Matara in November. You're all welcome. There's 600 houses we're going to clue. I've done it twice, maybe three times. One of them was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was driving home and I just felt the Lord say, you need to go and knock on their door and tell them about the Lord. Tell them about me. And I knocked on the door and it didn't go so well. They weren't that into it. But it's the power of the seed. It's the power of the seed. You know, if someone turns up at your house, do you want me to use the handheld?
I don't know what's going on.
It's very echoey, eh? Yeah. So when I knocked on these people's door, it might have even been 1 a.m. and woke the house up. And they came to the door and, what the heck are you doing here? I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And they said some words that weren't that far. Success is obedience. And I believe also with all my heart that the power of the seed. I'm standing here today because a man jumped off a stage and came to me and prophesied a word over me that I didn't even trust. I didn't believe. I didn't like him. I thought he was boring. But those words stuck so deep in my heart that I've never been the same again. So what is success? Success is obedience. What is it all about then? It's all about Jesus. It's all about your personal relationship with Jesus. You see, you can't give what you haven't got. I can remember I actually rang Pastor Wes. This was a few years ago on a trip because I just got hammered. That religious devil was just hammering me, man, through people. It was horrible. And I did a workshop, and one of the guys in the church used milk bottles. It doesn't matter. Just share the gospel. And he goes, oh, I'll tell you a story, actually. And I said, oh, cool. He said, I was down the beach the other day, and there's a whole heap of teenagers. And they were drinking beer. They were drinking spates. I went, okay. I couldn't believe it. They had a big box. I went, oh, okay. Like a spates. There was heaps of them. He was really struggling that these teenagers were drinking. Wouldn't it be horrible if when we turn up to talk to people, we judge them before we even open our mouths?
Why are they drinking spates? Because they're hurting. Because they're broken. Because they're desperately trying to fill this void. And unfortunately, spates won't fill it. And he said, so I went up to them and I was going to share. And I went to get my survey and I didn't have it. I went, oh. So how'd you get on? He said, well, I went home. I said, what do you mean you went home? He said, well, I went home because I didn't have my survey. You see, these things, Jesus loves you. That is so powerful, man. You're speaking life. You're speaking a seed into someone. I say that all the time to people. Hey, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. I said it the other night at the hospital. I went to visit a friend in hospital, and this is the new hospital. I'm not very good with directions and lifts and things. I got a bit lost, and this lady helped me. And I said, hey, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. She said, oh, thank you. That was cool. I visited my friend. I came back down. As I was walking out, she said, hey, why did you tell me that Jesus loves me? You see, the seed got sown an hour beforehand. And she's thinking, why did that guy say that? And I had an opportunity to pray for her and minister to her. Just the simplicity of the gospel. Now, I'm not dishing tracts and surveys. All that stuff is amazing. As a matter of fact, I've kind of made my own little handout thing. So I've got a couple of hundred here. I'm going to leave them here. You guys can take them. This one's sort of a youthy sort of thing. It's got a QR code on it. So what you do when you're talking to someone, leave them with this. And the first time I gave a guy one, he wasn't that keen to take it, he dropped it. But the second time I was in a Chinese takeaway, and I was sharing with this guy, and I just said to him at the end, I said, hey bro, grab a hold of this, take it home and check the QR code, because there's a two minute, 30 second video of my testimony, professionally filmed. So I gave it to him, and he goes, oh, thanks, man. So he gets his phone in the shop and takes a photo of it. It comes up onto the YouTube. He watches the video loud. It's loud. I'm standing there super awkward going, oh, wow. Me preaching in the shop on his phone is pretty uncomfortable. And at the end of it, he goes, oh, my goodness. Bro, I so needed to hear that today. You see, because he was a prodigal. So you will be rejected. The Bible actually says you will be hated for my name's sake. So if you think that every single person that you talk to is going to go, oh, wow, thank you, that's amazing. It's not like that. But if you understand the power of the seed, that every time you look into someone's eyes and say, hey, I want you to know that God loves you, or you have a word for them, or something like that, you will see people's lives impacted because you were in the mall, or you were in the skate park, or wherever you go, you're taking God with you. And success is obedience. You've got this.
Oh, but I'm 85 years old.
It doesn't matter. There's no elderly or Holy Ghost that's a little bit mellow. And so you're not alone. So wherever you go, you're walking around with God. And if you walk into a shopping mall and you go, oh, that's right, Dad's talked about shopping malls. Lord, who do you want me to speak to? No one today, you can just have a day off. He won't do that. He won't say that. Ask him, what one? And often you'll look at someone, your heart will just start racing. That's when you go, okay, that's the one. And it doesn't matter how they respond. The success or a failed attempt is not how someone responds. You've got to get that in here, man. Because actually, when people respond badly, it's really good because it burns out the fear of man in you. I reckon Monday, if we could all try and get 5 good rejections, it would help us. It will burn that out, man. We're not supposed to be scared of people. Who the sun sets free is fun. Have fun. Don't be so sour and boring and serious. Hey, I just want you to know. Just be you. Be normal. Can we play that wee video? The drive-through preaching. This was quite fun.
Jesus.
That's my lane. Cars were going up and doing a U-ing and coming back to get another wee piece of the gospel. It was amazing. Just being able to share life into people. Especially in these days. So when I travel and do these are the excuses that I hear. Number one is, and I hear this the most, is evangelism is not my gift. I don't share the gospel because evangelism is not my gift. But if we understand what that gift is, the gift is to equip the church so we all share the gospel. We don't need a word from God to go. We actually need a word from God to stay. Because he's told us all to go. And like I said before, it's nothing to do with your personality. See, guys, there's people in here that you put their names in there. And that's cool, putting their names in a bucket. But it's time now to step out of the boat and share the gospel with these people. Share the gospel. That might be writing a nice handwritten letter. That might be a phone call, text message, a coffee. But if we want to see these people saved, we have to do something. Praying for them is awesome. It's powerful. But often God wants us, he wants to use us to be his mouthpiece. Come on. A beautiful story when I talk about... In 1 hour, I don't have a lot of time to go through all this, but when I have more time, I get people and we pray for one person. With the congregation, I pray for my sister. And I've been praying that God would reveal himself to her in a powerful way. So she went through a bit of a tough time at the end of last year. And I got the opportunity to share with her, and I've been praying for her a lot. And then one day she rang me and we're just talking, and she said, "You know what, Daz? Today I surrendered my life to Jesus." The power of prayer, the power of being persistent and praying for these ones that we love. So good. Some people have said to me, "My life is such a fantastic witness, I don't need to speak to people." That's a cop-out. It's great that your life is a fantastic witness, but you need to open your mouth and let the words come. I really don't like it. Good. We don't like it. Because the power of life is in our tongue. There's been too many examples of people that have been so angry when I started sharing, and at the end of the conversation, they'll weep and go, "I want your Jesus, man." Excuses. I find it hard to speak to complete strangers. A lot of people have said that to me. Awesome. Start with your family. I've tried witnessing, but it didn't work. Again, what a success. Because if we're going to look at that, oh my goodness. I had a lady abuse me 2 days ago. Like, she got really angry. And I just said, "Jesus loves you so much." It's quite hard to see these. I've had people say, "Well, that's not my gifting, so it's not my responsibility." That breaks my heart. Because it's all of our responsibility. Unity is not an option. If we want to see people, thanks, Grant. If we want to see people's lives impacted, then we need to unify together. And you've got this. You need, please get this. You've got everything you need in you right now. You don't need to go and do 6 months of Bible college. You don't. You've got what it takes in you right now online. You guys, you've got it in you. You either have Holy Ghost or you don't. You're either saved or you're not. And if you are saved, Holy Ghost lives in you. That is all you need. And you will be hated. to God of love, I don't believe personally that he would send people to hell. I totally agree. 100% agree with them. God sends nobody to hell, but he honors every decision that we make because we have free will. You see, he never made robots that at 36 years old, we all just go, "Voom, now, okay, I'm a Christian." He gives us all free will. He sends people like you and me along people's paths to share with them, to sow that seed. And then what they do with it is up to them. So God is a God of love. He doesn't do a thing called love. He is love. He does actually send no one to hell, but he honors every single human's decision that they make on earth. That's the power of free will. So he's not up there with a big stick. He's actually up as an evangelist. I'm finding the season really hard, and I'm preaching in Nelson this week and then Westport, and I'm putting my messages together, and I'm trying to be sweet, but I'm concerned with the distraction. But I don't want to be that guy that comes in and just causes a big mess and leaves. But it concerns me that we can be so focused and passionate about this that we can forget about the Great Commission. We can forget that people in New Zealand tonight are going to spend their last night on earth. There's got to be an urgency in us as believers that when we sing these beautiful worship songs, that the Holy Ghost is going, "You know what? That same love I have for you, I actually have that same love for your neighbor. Go and talk to them." Question shortly. If you've got a question, just... You guys here, you can just put your hand up. But if you're online, just type it in now, a question, anything to do with evangelism, and we'll do our best to answer it. Often people say to me, "Well, you know, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy." And I get that life gets busy, but eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about. And with all my heart, I just long to see different denominations, the Baptists, the Anglican, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, coming together to reach people, laying down denominational flags, laying down logos and egos, and standing together. And we can do this. This is what we're doing in Matara. I know. See, Michael and I were driving down Invercargill a year ago, and as we drove through Matara, I said to Michael, I said, "Bro, we need to come back and blow this town up with the gospel." You could feel the oppression, and I'm not a feely kind of guy, but I could feel a spiritual oppression over that little town. And then I got invited to preach there in November. And Michael reminded me, he said, "Bro, can you remember?" And I go, "Yeah." So we got the church elders and that together, and we said, "Let's see your town saved. Let's do it." And they said, "Okay." So within an hour, we had this meeting. We've called it Only Hope. So we're planning to take 100 evangelists down to Matara, door knock every house. And I was walking around the streets, and I was thinking, "God, is this a Daz idea, or is this a you idea?" Because I didn't have my filter with me, my Breezy, she's my ideas filter. And I saw these three firemen, and they're all, one of them was a lady and two guys, and they're all dressed up. And this is so the right place. I was being nice. I didn't even mention Jesus. And she was so angry. And I said to Michael, "We need to come back and do it." And that's what we're going to do. So we've planned, I was talking with Andrew, he's in America at the moment, we're going to get a big farm truck and get a big tank on it, and we're going to drive around the streets of Matara baptizing people. The whole town is going to get impacted, man. And you guys, come down. It's going to be wild. Do we have any questions before I get into practical keys? It's the first week of November. Thursday the 3rd. So what we're doing, we're arriving on the 3rd. On the Friday the 4th, we're going to do, Andrew and I are going to do a one-day school on door knocking. My door knocking's not that amazing, but we'll get there. Agrimob, and we're going to speak with some other leaders in the town, and we're believing that the whole town will encounter the goodness and kindness of God. A month before we turn up, the church is going to put flyers in every single letterbox and letting them know what we're doing. But I said to them, well, if I saw a flyer, I probably wouldn't read it. But if I saw a flyer and it had a Moro bar, I'd read it. So we've got 600 Moro bars coming, delivered to my house, I hope. And we're going to put a Moro and a flyer in every. So, yeah, we're really excited about it. Any other questions? Do we have any questions online? Cool. Well, here's the deal. God would be a pretty average father if he didn't speak. So I don't think the issue is God's not speaking to us about people. I think the issue is us either too busy, so focused on our screens in front of us or whatever, that we're not listening to Father. Because just like I said, if you walk into a mall and say, who, Lord? He's not going to say, no one today, have a day off. And I believe when you're standing in front of someone, he will give you the words for them, but the problem is, it's about stepping out of the boat. Yeah? I'd rather be wet in the arms of Jesus than dry sitting in a boat. There's been so many times where I've stepped out and had nothing to say, and then fast forward a couple of minutes and bang, a word just flown out. And I think a lot of it is, if in our own life, it's all about your relationship with Jesus. 100%. And understanding that God's not always talking, but he's always communicating. So for me, a lot of the time is, I just know his thoughts. So it won't be necessary, that lady there, boom, 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 boom. I'll just know that I need to talk to them. And then as I'm speaking, I'll just know that I need to say this. And it just flows like that. And I think Janet's a weapon when it comes to this sort of thing. Do you want to add to that? Yeah, good.
So my question is, do you have some common lines, other than Jesus loves you, that you start conversations with complete strangers?
That is a great question. I don't think I do. No. I often say hello. I find that's good, saying hello. But I'm always, I want to get not ideal. Okay, so again, that's seed. So I want to have eye contact. Eye contact for me is really important. The eyes are the windows of the soul. There's something beautiful when you look into someone's eyes and they can see the God that lives in you. So I want eye contact, and I'll just say, hey, if I'm in a rush at a coffee shop, I'll just say, hey, thank you so much. That's awesome. I just want you to know today that Jesus loves you so much. Have an awesome day. And it's just the simplicity of stuff like that. And then other times from that, there'll be conversations start. Like, really? Why did you say that? And there's other times where I'll just, what's a scary one? Oh, I was at Pegasus Beach, and I saw this dude. He was a rough-looking dude. I thought, oh, cool, he needs the gospel. And then I thought, oh, he looks a bit scary, actually. So as I started walking, I walk up to him, I go, how's it? And he went, yeah, how's it? You know how the cool people do the how's it? Like, how's it? Yep, like that. We did that, and then I just went in for a hug. And he said, what are you doing? I said, hey, man, I just really felt to give you a hug. He goes, oh, just get out, man. I said, no, come here, bro. And there was a little bit of toe and throwing, but he let me hug him. And as I hugged him, I shared with him. And it, you know, he just started weeping. And that was because he'd never been hugged. No one had ever hugged him. But it's just a simple hug. I remember I was preaching in Rotorua in a tent, the Southern Fire tent. And preached, and this young girl came up to me after the service, and she was all, they were sweet. And I said, oh, cool, are you a Christian? She goes, no. And I went, oh, why not? And I just did an altar call. I thought it was good preaching. And she said, oh, no, it's just not my thing. And I said, okay, again, give her a hug. think God wants us to do awkward well. And honestly, it was like hugging this. It was just like that. There was absolutely nothing I was getting back, just hugging her. And then I thought, okay, this isn't working. So I went to pull back and I heard Holy Ghost, keep hugging her. And as I kept hugging her, I could just feel in her just starting to break down. Boom, 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 boom. Then I'm hugging her just like a dad would hug a daughter. She's bawling her eyes out, man. Bawling her eyes out. She said the most profound thing to me. She said, that's the first time I've had a hug from a male without any sexual favor at the end. Just a hug. Just a simple hug. What's so beautiful about this young lady is a few days later I saw on Facebook that she was in a shopping mall on the Romans Road. But she was on a table. I stand on chairs in malls. Chairs are sweet. Standing on a table, that's next level. She's on a table telling people about the God that she had an encounter with through a simple hug. The simplicity of it, eh? So I think for me, answering your question, I often, 9 times out of 10, will just say, hey, man. And if it's a young person, it's, hey, bro, I just want you to know God loves you. If it's an elderly person, hey, how are you? I'm Daz. I just want you to know that God loves you so much. If it's an elderly person, hey, how are you? And I'll just try, because you see, as I'm walking over, they're hiding their handbag. So they're freaking going, what's this dude doing? He's got pictures on his neck. And I'll just say, hey, how are you? And I'll be gentle. I'll just say, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you so much. The power I learn about evangelism, the more that I realize how simple it is. It's simple. God wants to use you to shine him every day. Not on Sundays, every day. Do we have any other questions? Yes. Yes, Mike.
You were talking about fear before, and I just wanted you to talk about dancing lessons. Right. Yeah.
So before we do that, can we just play that plane clip, please? Thank you.
Yeah. When I was driving to pick up Josh today, I just really felt in my heart there was someone on this plane who really needed to know that Jesus loved them. And it was kind of awesome mid-flight to meet that lady and had the opportunity to pray for her. And I was just going to share with everyone on the plane how amazing Jesus is.
Can you hand them out?
Sure, mate.
So messed up for 22 years. But I met Jesus Christ and he changed. Someone needed to hear some good news. And I believe it was you. It was such an honour to pray for this lovely lady on the flight. But I want you to know that Jesus is not a name just in an ancient book. I met him, he changed my life, and he loves you guys so much. Have an awesome time in Brisbane. Cheers.
Even just from sharing the gospel on fire, this is odd. People have come to our events and they have encountered God. Just going, yeah, God, because of the praying, but yeah. So good. And he loves you.
See, that's beautiful. I got to pray for those flight attendants. And you know, people on planes. Amazing. Dubai was amazing. I had a big Jesus Loves You t-shirt. I didn't realise that Dubai was quite Muslim. That was amazing. I got chased into the toilets and told to take my t-shirt off. So I actually started taking it off and said, no, keep it on, keep it on. No, I didn't. But they did ask me to remove my t-shirt. There's absolutely no way. Jesus is king. He's not a prophet waiting to come back. So the reason I wanted to play that is that's kind of quite bold. I get that. But I face fear just like you. When Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unskilled, ordinary men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You want to be brave? Spend time with Jesus. And now, for me, that's a good thing. I like it. But there's been so many people that I've been walking down the street and I've felt to speak to them and just, oh, yeah, oh, I missed them. Oh, well, sorry. And I don't want to be that guy because I know when God points someone out, they need the gospel in that particular moment. So I'm prepared to do it even when I am afraid. And it's been interesting with friends that are evangelists too. They're the same. They feel fear. Todd White feels fear. Sometimes, for me, it can be like a wave of just like, and I know when I, and I'd rather do it afraid than not at all. So with the dancing, I've got a friend, he dances in worship, like full on proper dances, like dances and picks things up and kisses. And I thought, man, I want to be like that. I want to do that. I told Bree and she just laughed. My kids were laughing and I said to him, bro, would you teach me how to dance? He goes, yeah, because I want to dance. Legit want to dance, not even joking. I think it's the most beautiful form of worship, but I have trouble clapping in time. So I went to his house 2 weeks ago in Sumner to learn how to dance. And my kids are saying, please, can we come in video? I go, no, you can't. Don't be so mean. And it was a hot night in Sumner, 28 degrees. We'll do, we'll put worship on and I'll stand behind you and I'll just move your arms and do that and we'll do this. And I go, yeah, yeah, cool. He goes, cool, well, let's go. I go, what do you mean, let's go? We're going to do it down at the beach. Okay. Okay, that's okay. We're going to do it at the beach. There were so many surfers at the beach, people that I know. And to have another man standing behind me, moving my arms and bowing and lifting legs up, it was a wee bit embarrassing. But I'd rather do it afraid than not at all. It was really quite challenging. It's really quite challenging. But I, my heart is to be able to be so free in worship that I can dance before the Lord and do it for an audience of one and don't care what anyone thinks. Because as I was walking to the beach and just seeing, I would be more afraid if he said to me, hey, we've got a church meeting tonight. Come to church and I'll teach you how to do it at church. That would frighten me more than doing it on a packed beach. See, because the fear of man is in people. And for me, I've got to divorce it to be free. For me to be able to walk into a church, I remember years ago, 8, 9 years ago when the stage was that end, I'd walk in here and I'd go, okay, today I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. In the worship, I'm going to raise my hands. And I'd just... oh, and I'd go home and I'd be so gutted because I was too scared to raise my hands. So I get what it's like to be afraid. I wasn't born a really bold kid. I was introverted, awkward. I still am very severe in the worship week after week and just trying and then just getting them up here. You see, even getting them up there was such a kiss to the Father. Even though I'd walk out and go, why can't I just be free? Getting them up there was a big thing for me. And he was so kind as I was going through that. So I get what it's like to be afraid. But let's be a body of believers that does it even if we are afraid. Hebrews 11 says, and some got cut in two. Actually, most theologians say they get cut that way. For preaching the gospel. The same gospel that I'm talking about tonight for us to go and share. They would tie them on poles and tar them up. And then as it got dark, they'd flick a match. And the into all the world and preach the gospel. You young guys, that's you. God wants to use you to go and impact your friends. There's no more, nothing on earth that is as beautiful as someone receiving Jesus. Nothing. Okay, I'm just going to hit some practical keys. Number one, I wrote this in my book. By the way, I've got these, my box, and we've also got manuals. I'm actually working out of the manual tonight. So, and we put the manual on these pen drives. There's 3.5 hours of content on here, but we purposely filmed 6 20-minute sessions of evangelism training. So if you're interested, either come and see me afterwards or practical keys for personal evangelism. Don't be weird. Don't be weird. When you're sharing the gospel, don't be weird. It's really important to not be weird. It's for you. Don't be weird. Yes. Okay, weird means to me, great question, Wes. Weird means to me, I saw a guy praying for a dude who had a demon in public, and he was hitting him with his Bible. Hitting him hard with the Bible. And I went over and said, bro, why are you hitting this dude? He said, well, he's demon possessed. I said, well, let's just pray for him. Let's stop hitting him with the Bible. Weird to me is talking at people. Like often, extroverted people that are sharing the gospel, they're good talkers, but they're talking in one of them. I think listening is such a key. I think when we're praying for people on the street, keep your eyes open and don't waffle on for half an hour. If I'm praying for you on the street and I've got my eyes closed and going on 15 minutes, he is going to feel very uncomfortable. So what I do is when I'm praying for someone, I'll keep my eyes open and I'll make it like 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Now, there's been times where God is just blowing in. And like in the mall in Florida, prayed for a husband and a wife and they were woof, in the middle of the mall, on the ground, in the middle of the mall. People were walking past taking photos of these people out under the power of God. So understanding that God can move in a moment, but my part of it, I just don't want to get weird. Is that kind of listening to people? I listen to their story. I ask them questions. You see, I'm not trying to arm wrestle them. I'm not trying to win a debate. I just want them to know that God loves them. And I've spoken to really intelligent people that have, you know, well, the Bible contradicts itself. Does it? Was it Noah that built the ark or was it Moses? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was one of them. But what I do know, there's a joke. I know it was Moses. What I do know is I walked into a church 25 years ago to meet girls and I met God. Nobody argued me or pressured me into it. So no one can argue me and pressure me out of it. So when you have an encounter with God, you're branded for life. So I want to make sure they speak to me about you. And when I'm talking to you, I'm engaged. Because if I'm talking to you, oh yeah, did you? Oh, you were 6. Oh no, 16. Okay, cool. Oh yeah, yep. You would go, this dude's not even engaged at all. Or my phone starts ringing. Hey, just hang on a bit. Yeah, I get the abuse. That would have been horrible. Hello? Not good. Often my phone's vibrating in my pocket when I'm sharing with someone. And what I want them to take home is this. It's very simple. Jesus loves you. He's not just a name in a book. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. I was in Whitcalls buying highlighters. I said to this lady as I walked in, hey, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. That's what I say, Janet. Just that. Jesus loves you. She goes, oh, yep, good. That's good. Glad someone does. I go, oh, cool. So I go and get my highlighters. I come back out. I'm walking out with my highlighters. And she goes, hey, I didn't say, hey, I'd like to pray for you. I just said, hey, give me your hands. With my eyes open, looking at her, I grabbed her hands and just started praying this prayer. Lord, reveal yourself to her. Touch your heart right now, Jesus. You see, if we ask for a fish, he's not going to give us a stone. He loves this lady in Whitkills. She starts tearing up in Whitkills. She said, I've got friends that go to Grace Church and on the beach, the Beach Grace. And I said, awesome. Tell them you want to go to church with them. Sowed the seed, gone. But you see, that started super awkward. But the seed was bubbling away. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? So when you are talking to people, it's really good not to smell. Don't smell. This is amazing. Because you know what it's like. If you're talking to someone and they stink, it's hard to listen to what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? Life, but I've had people that their breath is so bad, I've gone, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to do a courtesy drop to get away from the breath. So just little things like this. Just not smelling. Just practical things. It's very important to do your hair. No, there's a wee trick, because my hair's all knotty. Don't argue. When you're sharing with people, don't argue. It's such a key. Oh, I like debating scripture. Cool. Go to Bible college. When you're sharing with people, don't argue. Your testimony is the key. Because no one can say to me, no, Daz, when you're in Wollongong, at that church, it didn't actually happen. Well, what the heck, you weren't even there. I was there. I met a God that I didn't believe in. So I'm always telling people, I'm so glad you could make it to the meeting. They just look and have a wee giggle. Because it's good to get people laughing. Imagine if I said, hey guys, if this lift crashes, and are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to heaven? Probably not so good. Get them laughing and say, hey, why I've got your attention just for 2 seconds. I was a drug addict. I met Jesus. He's not just a name in a book. And the same Jesus I met, he loves you so much. And the door's open. Just a seed like that. Often people are obviously running late for work because they run out of the lift. But that's okay. Be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try and be like anyone else. Don't watch your favorite evangelists on YouTube and go, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, just be you. Just be you. And if you want to use tracks, or Ray Comfort's got these cool things, these little cards, and it's an optical illusion, and it's cool. If you want to use stuff like that, go for it. They want to hear your experience. The most beautiful testimony that I believe is in the body of Christ is kids that have been brought up in God. Too many of them say, Dad, especially at youth events, man, I wish I had a testimony like yours. You don't. I wish I had a testimony like yours. If my testimony was so amazing, Jaden, my son, he's 14 now, be saying, hey, Jay, it's time to get into a bit of marijuana. Maybe let's look at a bit of porn. Because we've got to get you a testimony so when you're talking to people, you'll have a testimony. How evil is that? The most beautiful testimony is Jaden and Shyla and Nevi and Benji growing up in Jesus, being kept by God. Too many kids, PKs and kids that have grown up in church, they honestly don't think they have a testimony. But yeah, they dream and God would meet me and push me on the swings. All those beautiful things that kids have, these beautiful encounters, they're the testimonies that the world needs to hear. We don't need more stories of drunken lunatics that get saved. Yep, good. Thank you, Lord. But I want to hear what spins my wheels is not the heroin stories. It's not the drug stories. It's the kids that have been growing up in God and now they're living for God. They're preaching the gospel. They're worship leading. They're doing all these things in ministry and they've never looked left. They've never looked right. They've just always gone after Jesus. That was praise. Man, I love, yeah. I take sneaky wee photos of my daughter. I'm taking her to, she's coming to Westport. She, when I take her on trips, she has her wee hands up and she's just worshipping Jesus with her. And I just, oh, it's the most beautiful. Matara and Invercargill in November. And we were away for about five, Dunedin, we were away for about 5 days. And we had a meeting in Dunedin with some pastors and we went and had dinner with them. And as we were walking home, we're just walking back to our hotel, there was a group of young girls, 18, 20-year-olds, coming out of a restaurant, and they walked across the road, and they're about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 metres behind us. So I wasn't even looking at them. And as I'm walking with Shai, I just felt the Lord say, the one with the frizzy hair has got a praying mum. I went, cool. So we stop at a light and the girls catch up to us. My daughter's standing right there. I said, hey girls, how are you? They said, yeah, good. I said, hey, what's your name? And the young lady told me her name. I said, my name's Daz. I'm actually a Christian, a minister. And when I saw you guys walk across, and she goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, you've got a praying mum. And I'm actually the answer to your praying mum's prayers tonight, because I'm here to tell you that Jesus adores you. She stood in the road, and my wee daughter's just watching. This is normal. She just stood there like a stunned mullet for a moment, then just burst into tears. She's about 2 metres into the road, just standing, stationary, just crying and crying, and her friends are comforting her. I said, he loves you so much. And my little Shyla saw that whole thing happen. You see, that's just normal Christianity. That's not because Dad's an evangelist. That's because Dad loves Jesus. I love it. I love it. When you're talking with people, avoid Christianese. We know what those words mean. They don't. So just remember your audience, who you're talking to. And if you are going to do something open ear and loud and bold, smile. Smile. And introduce yourself. I started before COVID, the year before COVID, I had 88 flights in 1 year. And I thought, oh, I wonder if this will work. So at the beginning of the flight, when they're doing all the checks and everything, I stood up and hey guys, how are you? My name's Daz. I'm actually a minister. I'm preaching in Aussie, and I'm just working on a message on this flight. When it lands, can I just run it by you? And people were, oh yeah, that'd be all right. And then I'd stand up and I'd just share for a little bit. And because they already knew, they were engaged. Really cool. So that works well when you're flying, sort of from Cairns to Melbourne. The plane was flying in the air. Because often this is fear, pushing through fear, doing it afraid. We're flying. We're at 35,000 feet. And the Lord said, I want you to stand up and preach boldly. And I went, oh my goodness, the plane's flying. We're flying. We're in the air. He goes, yeah, I want you to do it. I don't think that's a great idea. They're going to turn it around for sure. And I wrestled. Fear. Fear was being a louder voice than Holy Ghost. And I was going, oh man, I thought, he's testing me. He's doing a wee test. So I'll get up, I'll stand in the aisle, and then he'll think that I was going to do it, and then I'll just go to the toilet. I thought, sweet, that'll work. He's testing me. So I stand in the aisle and nothing happens. I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to do this. Awkward, and sometimes I say stupid things because you're nervous. And do the, and I just, the start was horrible, and I just started sharing. And then as I'm sharing, super uncomfortable, but that's why he's given us the comforter. I look at one guy, he's about 4 rows down, he's sitting by himself, a seat either side of him. And I pointed at him, and I said, bro, I did this for you, man. He goes, okay, yeah, you, I'm doing this for you. And just went and sat down with him, started sharing. He said he used to be a Christian. 2 weeks ago, he prayed. He said, God, if you're real, get someone to come and tell me. I said, are you kidding? Do you know how embarrassing this was for me today? I said, seriously, man. I said, let me pray for you. Prayed for him. He rededicated his life to Jesus at 35,000 feet, and I did it afraid. Here to do stuff afraid. Do you want that? Cool. We're going to sing a song. Can we just sing that song? We're just going to sing the song. And I think this is... Sorry that I had to skim over a lot of this, but it's just time. But we're going to sing No Longer a Slave to Fear. But here's the deal. If you actually no longer want to be a slave to fear, I want you to sing it and mean it. Sing it like you are no longer a slave to fear. Because fear will come. I'm telling you, it will come, but you're not a slave to it anymore because you're a child of God. Holy Ghost lives in you. So we're going to sing it. And sing it over yourself. Proclaim it over yourself. Sing this. Be brave. Oh, Daz, people might hear me in the other room. Good. Sing it. And believe the words that you are singing, that you are no longer, you are divorcing that fear that holds you back. And when it comes up, you're prepared to push through it. David ran to take on Goliath. See, when we run into fear, it doesn't give our brain enough time to talk us out of it. So run into it. I am no longer a slave to fear. Speak that over yourself tonight. Yes, Jesus. Lord, that is our heart, for us to be no longer a slave to fear, but to be brave for you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you for sending your beautiful Son to get ripped apart on a cross for us and every other person on planet Earth. Lord, I pray that you'd use us all mightily to share your good news every day. Lord, I pray for... Lord, I pray tonight that your name would be lifted high in our country, higher than mandates, higher than vaccines, that your name would be lifted high over our country, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, use our little lives to make you famous every day. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Love you heaps. Amen.